Brother Ray asked that we read from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. And as I read over this quickly, I don't know what Brother Ray plans on speaking on, but we see here the disciples looked at this woman as they wanted to sort of shoo her away. And, you know, I often find myself being very guilty of sometimes putting people in a savable box and an unsavable box. You see people out there that what we call it undesirable. So when we think of this, we think how God gave his son for everyone. And, you know, it's a lesson for me. I need to realize that everyone out there, I'm no different than anybody else out there. I was once a lost sinner. Okay, Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, Is it not meet to take children's bread and cast it to the dogs? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. For all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
We greet each of you again in the name of Jesus. You might want to keep your Bible open. We're going to be looking from Matthew 15, but before we do that, we're going to be looking a little bit at Luke 11, so you might want to also pull up Luke chapter 11 a while. We have been doing a study of types of prayer found in Scripture. In Ephesians 6, verse 8, it says, praying always with all prayers. And that means all types of prayers. And Scripture identifies many types of prayer. Brother Ken Nell spoke on corporate prayer. Brother Paul Shirk on a Sunday night spoke about prevailing prayer. Brother Marlin, when he was here for revivals, spoke about the prayer closet. And I spoke on the prayer of supplication. Tonight we want to look at the prayer of persistency. Persistent prayer means just that. You take a request to God and you ask him to meet that need and you don't get an answer. You again take a request to God and ask him to meet that need and you don't get an answer. And you again take a request to God and ask him to meet that need. And you continue to persist until God answers yes or until in your spirit he tells you no. It's called persistent prayer. If you want to follow along in Luke chapter 11, I'm not going to read this parable of the friend at midnight. You're familiar with this. In this parable, a friend at midnight demands another friend to give him some bread to use for some company that came unexpectedly. And he knocks at the door and he shouts in the window, give me some bread for my guests. And his friend shouts out the window, it's too late, leave me alone. And his friend keeps knocking and keeps shouting. And Scripture says in the parable, finally the friend gives him the bread. In verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Notice the word importunity. This is a word we don't use in our conversation at all. But this is why the bread was given. And importunity, what it means in today's language, it means being persistent. And it's like an urgent persistency in requesting or demanding something. And in the Greek, it actually kind of means to beg. It's full of emotion, full of drama. It's intense. I thought of the illustration, you know, children know the advantage of importunity. A mother might be at the checkout line at the grocery store with her four-year-old, and he might say, "Mom, I want a candy bar." And she says, "No." And he says louder, give me a candy bar." And she tries to hush him and whispers, "You better be good." And he gets even louder, "I want a candy bar." And he keeps asking, and he starts to cry, and the heads start to turn, and people in the checkout line are staring, and the mother's face turns red. And because she wants the begging to stop, she might give in. Might not be a good idea, but she might give in and give him the candy bar. But this is an example of how God desires we pray to him, to beg him, to keep repeating, to mean what we say, to have hearts filled with emotions. I want to ask us, do we practice persistent prayer? Jesus expands on persistent prayer in verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together of Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verse 9 together. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Do you see the repetition here? Ask. And then ask more by seeking. And then ask and seek by knocking. Do you see the progression in intensity? Asking is easy. Seeking requires more stamina. Knocking requires even more energy. You know, most of our prayers, many times we are just asking. We never seek or even knock. You know, we never stomp our feet and cry out to God, "God, I need this request granted." Let's read verse 10 together. Luke chapter 11, verse 10. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open." Notice the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing isn't to the one that asks. The door gets opened for the one who knocks, the one who bangs and bangs on heaven's door. And you might say, "Well, Ray, why can't we make a request to God just one time? God doesn't forget. He remembers our requests." The reason is God loves to hear his children beg him. God loves the sound of your voice rising to him. He has chosen to answer us more when we beg him. He loves the sound of your voice rising to him. And I believe it's not as much our words as much as our hearts that wins God over. He feels our emotions. He sees our sorrows. He senses our laying our heart at his door. A somewhat overlooked example. Now, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 15, this is a somewhat overlooked example of persistent prayer. And we're going to be starting at verse 22. Now notice how this woman persisted in prayer. And I'm just going to read, and when I say prayer, talking to Jesus, begging Jesus. I'm going to read a couple of verses. "Then Jesus went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" It's believed this Canaanite woman was raised in a pagan culture. She was a descendant of the people God had ordered Israel to destroy. What can we learn about persistent prayer from this true account that Jesus gives? There's a couple different applications here, and I want to take these applications to heart. I'm giving them to you so that you can apply it to your heart. The first application is she heeded God's spirit to seek out Jesus. She had a problem. Her daughter was demon-possessed. So what she did is she came into the region where Jesus was. And then when she came to the region, she probably asked where he was. And then she did some seeking to find him. And then she knocked at the door of his heart. But it all started with that inner impulse, I need to tell Jesus. With us in application, we need to heed God's spirit. You know, there are literally thousands of things we could persist in prayer. I mean, we have neighbors to the west, south, east, and north that are unsaved. We have unsaved relatives, unsaved co-workers. We know missionaries that we could pray for with persistent prayer. We know many people with sicknesses that we could pray for with persistent prayer. But even if we prayed 16 hours a day, we would not have time to persist in prayer for every need. And I believe that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Persist in prayer, especially for the needs that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. What he lays on your heart, those are the areas you need to persist in praying. I read the account of a lady in Philadelphia. This is an account from many years ago. She had a wayward son who he had left to become a sailor. And one night she awoke, there was a deep sense of need on her heart. And her spirit sensed that her son was in great danger. And she got up and knelt by her bed and she prayed for a couple hours for her son. And after a couple hours, a peace came in her heart. And some time passed and then he came home. And he told her this story about one night. And it turned out it was the same night the spirit led her to pray. A great storm came up, and it was an awful night. And this great wave called him and swept him overboard. And as he struggled in the sea, the thought came, I'm lost forever. And at that time, he remembered a hymn his mother taught him as a child. And it was the verse, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. And he cried out, I look to Jesus. And at that moment, another wave called him and swept him back aboard the ship. You see, the mother felt the Spirit direct her heart to pray. And with each of us, with persistent prayer, the Lord will lay needs on your heart that you need to persist in prayer and keep on persisting in prayer. The application is to be sensitive to the Spirit. In other words, I might want to pray for a middle class family that lives right beside me. But what if the Holy Spirit is directing me to pray for two neighbors that are homosexuals living together? Pray what he wants us to pray. Let his heart be our heart. Fight, persist, pound the throne of God. The second application, and I think this is one we can all say, yeah, I felt this before. The second application is silence from God does not mean rejection. I know for each of us, there are many times we've been prayed and God was silent and we felt rejected. The first time that the Canaanite woman asked Jesus to heal her daughter, what did Jesus do? Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. He was silent. He answered not a word. Have you been there? Isn't that what happens with most of our prayers? We ask and there is silence from God. We make this request. We expect a quick answer. But we only hear the sounds in the house because God is silent. And we wrongly assume the answer is no from his silence. Brothers and sisters, is this how we relate to each other in our interpersonal relationships? That's not how we relate. I thought an example, if Sharon would ask me, Ray, could you fix the faucet tonight? And I didn't answer, she wouldn't assume from my silence that it wouldn't get done. She knows she will need to ask me more. Ray, please fix it. It's driving me crazy. It's been like this for 7 months. And you know, I will answer her. I will say yes, but only because she persisted. Just because God is God doesn't mean he won't change his mind based on your begging. He loves to hear your pleas. He's silent. The reason he's silent is because he wants to hear your voice rise to him more. If he answers you right away, he won't hear your voice rise more. Never assume God's silence means no. What it means, Owen, is keep praying even harder. From this Canaanite woman, we saw about persistent prayer. It must be laid on our heart by the Spirit. His silence should not be taken as a no. The third application found in verse 23 to 25, and I think this is the application that blessed my heart the most, and that is persistent prayer brings about a greater worship experience. Are any of you into having a greater worship experience? But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and what? What'd she do? Worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice she worshipped him. She fell down before him. Evidently, you can take from this these verses. When Jesus didn't answer, she ramped up the volume. She kept on begging. And it was so much that the disciples wanted to get rid of her. And that's when he said, as she kept crying, he said, I'm sent to the lost sheep. The Jews are the ones I'm here to help with their needs. And he uttered these words of rejection. Yet, when he said those words, she saw it that, well, at least the Lord knows I'm here, because he answered my cry. He said something about my cries. And so that was her cue. That's when she rushed through the disciples. I can just see her pushing the disciples aside. And she fell at his feet, begging. You know, before this, at first, the first time she asked, she had been crying from the fringes. She had been crying from the edges of the crowd. But now she prostrated herself in front of him. Persistent prayer is one of the highest forms of worship. As we beg before him, we sense, I am nothing, He is everything. I am helpless. God, you alone can fill my need. She had been out on the fringes, but because she kept crying, she was now close by him. What had started with a single request outside his presence, now by her persistency, it brought her inside his presence. Do you feel God isn't close? Do you feel God is far away? Are you a single prayer request person? Are you out on the fringes? Persistency will bring you to his feet. This scripture reminded me of Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In other words, day and night they worshiped him, repeating the words over and over. God wants that kind of worship from you. Persistent prayer, supplications, prevailing prayer. When you pray, it's your way of saying, God, I love you. I need you. You alone are worthy. Only you are sufficient to meet my needs. Help me. Hear her needs had brought this Canaanite woman into a closer state of worship. Your needs, they will do the same if you persist in prayer. We learn persistent prayer, it must be laid on us by the Spirit. Silence does not mean no. Persistency leads to worship. The fourth application is we need to fight hindrances to persistent prayer. Did you notice how this lady had everything going against her? All kinds of hindrances. She was fighting prejudice. She was a woman, and worse than that, she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a male Jew. She had to feel so out of place. A Gentile woman among these Jewish men. She was being told to stop. They were ready to make her leave. And she had to feel embarrassed. I imagine everyone was staring at her as she kept repeating these same words over and over. And I'm sure she felt rejected. The Lord said, well, I have come to the lost sheep. I come to the Jews. And then he said in verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Jesus was saying, the Jews deserve my help. Why should I give it to a Gentile dog? And at that time, the Canaanites were commonly called dogs by the Jews. And so she had to feel rejected. All these hindrances. Yet she didn't stop. She kept pounding the pavement, kept pressing on. What hinders us from persistent prayers? Maybe it's thoughts like this. Well, no one else does persistent prayer. I want to ask you, how do you know that no one else is involved in persistent prayer? You don't. Maybe it's thoughts like, well, I don't want to be a religious fanatic. It's not normal to be praying like that. Brothers and sisters, isn't Scripture our guide for what is normal Christianity? Scripture teaches it. In fact, Christ taught persistent prayer more than he taught any other type of prayer. He gave two parables on persistent prayer, and he talked about ask, seek, and knock. And yet we worry, well, are others practicing persistent prayer? Or maybe we have the hindrance, well, that takes a lot of time. I don't have time. Well, if we think we don't have enough time for persistent prayer, I want to ask us, what is more important? We have our hobbies, our fun things, our extra jobs, our entertainment. Well, will these things save our children from hell? Will these things save our neighbors and our co-workers from an eternal hell? Will these things bring someone back that's dying and needs the power of the Lord in his or her life. Well, these things do that. Our hobbies, our fishing, our entertainment. For each of us, we can safely say, I don't have time to not pray. I need to set my priorities right. There's a lot of things in my life I need to cut out. I need to stop. I need to maybe quit that extra job. I maybe need to quit some of the entertainment or the hobbies, and I need to get more involved in persistent prayer. Or even while I'm doing maybe some of these things, I need to have an attitude of persistent prayer as I'm doing my extra job or out in the field. I have to pray. We learn from this woman that persistent prayer, it must be laid on our hearts. Silence does not mean no. Prayer, persistent prayer will draw you to deeper worship. There are hindrances to overcome. The last application from this woman is that her prayer was marked by boldness. Did you notice that as our brother read it? She boldly persevered. She had cried for mercy, and she was met with silence. She kept begging, and as she kept begging, she heard the disciples discussing how they were going to get rid of her. She kept persisting, and Jesus told her, I was sent to the Jews, not to you. She kept persisting, and Jesus told her, it's not proper to take what belongs to the children, the Jews, and give it to the dogs, the Gentiles. And the picture that Jesus was painting for her was common to them. Maybe it's not as common to us. But Jesus painted a picture of a Jewish family sitting around the table. Can you see the children and everyone sitting around the table waiting to eat? And can you just see the dad or the mother taking all the food and throws it under the table to the pet dog, and now the children don't have food to eat? And Jesus said to this lady, he said, well, that's not meat. That's not proper for me to do. What would you have done at this point if Jesus would have said that to you? She kept right on persisting. She took the illustration that Jesus used, and she used it to her profit in verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. She said, yeah, Jesus, I agree with you. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's saying, Jesus, you know that as the children are eating, there are always some crumbs that drop from the table, and the dogs eat them crumbs. Yeah, that's what happens at a table. Crumbs fall that the children drop, and the dogs eat them. Jesus, give me some crumbs. Heal my daughter. That was rather bold of her, wasn't it? It's almost like she was negotiating with Christ. He had his offer on the table, and she counteroffers. Lord, I agree with you. Feed the children first. But don't forget about the crumbs. You called me a dog. I agree. But the dogs always get the crumbs. She boldly persisted in prayer. And she obtained what she wanted. You see, what the Lord was doing, he didn't really view her as a dog. He was testing her faith. Did she really have a true faith in him? And she got the crumbs she asked for, and I would say she got more than crumbs. How is prayer for you? When you ask at heaven's door and they're silent, do you stop knocking? When you keep persisting and feel rejected, what do you do? Do we give up? Earlier, we mentioned that each of us, we practice persistence in our personal relationships. Like another example, if you persist and asking your six-year-old to pick up his Lego blocks, and he doesn't do it, you finally might get bold and say, okay, if you can't be responsible to pick up your toys, I don't need to be responsible and make you supper tonight. Or if I keep ignoring Sharon's concern for the faucet, and we don't have a faucet that's leaking right now, but if I kept resisting her concerns, she might say something like this to me. She might say, Ray, when you became elder, you promised to serve all the members of Pleasant Hill. I'm a member of Pleasant Hill. Serve me. Fix my sink. It would be kind of bold, but it would get my attention. It would be her using my own words to get me to help her. We are bold with others in our interpersonal relationships. Well, God, he wants to be treated like a person. God, if you don't bring my neighbor into salvation, his children are going to live and die in their sins, and his grandchildren are going to live and die in their sins. God, you got to help him. Why do you tarry? We might say, God, you promised to help those who love you. I have a lot of financial needs right now, Lord. I want to go to Wise Markets today, and I don't know if I have enough money to even get groceries. But yet my neighbor, he's living in sin. He's living in adultery, all kinds of greed. And he has two Cadillacs, and he has plenty of money. Lord, what's going on? Please help me. You promised that you would help those who love you. Sometimes our vocabulary in prayer is so limited. God says, open your heart to me. Let out your emotions. Be bold. Be frank. Tell it to me as you see it. And it's interesting, as you read the Psalms, as you read the prayers of David, they are so honest. They are so full of emotion. Normally, we don't pray like David prayed. He was so honest. And if you want to learn more about prayer, read through the Psalms. I want to share two quotes, short quotes about prayer. Robert Torrey said, prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. So in other words, all his attributes, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his infinitude are all available. Prayer, persistent prayer, is the key that it unlocks the power of God in our lives. Another quote, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his highest willingness. Let me repeat that. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his highest willingness. God is willing to give us our needs, but only if we submit to his process with prayer and pray consistently and persistently. I thought of the Old Testament example. When God performed the miracle with bringing down the walls of Jericho, remember how he asked the children of Israel to follow a process. In other words, he told them, persist in marching around Jericho one time a day for 6 days, then persist in going around it 7 times on the 7th day, 13 times altogether. Could God have brought it down by them only marching around it one time? Sure. But he chose for repetition of marches in order for them to unlock the storehouses of God's infinite power and lay hold of his highest willingness. With our request, he desires a persistency. He wants us to be marching around his throne continually in order for his power to be displayed. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus said, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to, what? Faint. Have we fainted? Stop persisting in prayer? Did the silence of God, maybe his silence made you weary? Did the hour spent in prayer without an answer make you faint? Do you feel rejected? It's interesting. I studied the root word for faint, and it's kakos, and it actually means worthless. Do you feel that God doesn't care about you? That you're just maybe dust in the wind? That you ask him a couple times and he's silent, and now you feel worthless, you feel rejected. And Jesus is saying, always pray. Keep on pounding my door. I love hearing your knocking. Don't lose up. Don't give up. Is this where you're at? I want to read for closing from the diary of George Mueller. And I'm going to read directly from his diary. He said, in November 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land, on the sea, or whatever the pressure of my engagement might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed for the other 3. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the 3rd was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. These 2 remain unconverted. And then 36 years later, he wrote that the other 2, sons of one of Mueller's friends, were still not converted. He wrote this then 36 years later from that last journal. He said, but I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. Unquote. In 1897, 52 years after he began to pray, these 2 men were finally converted after he died. Have you been praying and praying and praying for anything that long? Or maybe we don't have those around us that are unsaved. Maybe we don't have friends that need converted. But George Mueller did. And he persisted in praying. And that same God is alive today. His power is available to the saints. And all we need to do is reach up and access the power of God. My prayer for each of us is that we would start a daily practice of being persistent in prayer.
I'm wondering how many of us are engaged in persistent prayer. I imagine most of us are, if not all of us. I know I am. Every night before we bring our day to a close, as we have prayer, my wife and I, a lot of our prayer are things that are persistent prayers. And I have one prayer I'd like you to join with me. Since my wife had her battle with cancer, one of the drugs that she was on, they found out was causing her to have rheumatic arthritis. And we've been praying for relief for this for some time. Sometimes she says, it don't seem to be getting any better. I said, yeah, but it might be a lot worse. Because most of you, I imagine some of you remember Ada Markey. We know she suffered with that rheumatic prayer, her rheumatic pain that she had. So I'd like if you would join me in having her be delivered from this. Let's stand for a word of prayer.